are.
So, you ready?
There's a house on Grumbler's Alley where I lived some years ago. And the walls were swiftly falling to decay. And the yard was full of thistles, and the roof was rotted so that the storms beat in upon me night and day. Then the spirit came and told me of a wonderful abode, where from wind and storm I'd find a safe retreat. So the Savior sent his moving van and took me up the road to a little house on Hallelujah Street. Now I just received a letter from the King of Glory Land. They soon be coming after all his own. They will roll us down the avenue with retinue so grand, picking up the saved and sanctified alone. When I hear the wheels are rumbling and I hear the angel's song, and I see that God's redemption is complete, I am sure he'll stop and take me to the place I've lived so long, in a little house on Hallelujah Street. I shall ne'er forget that day when I moved from sin away and secured a change of address so complete. Since that moment without fail, I've been getting all my mail and a little house on Hallelujah Street.
All right, good evening. This is Good Samaritan Baptist Church Sunday evening Bible study on Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day, and appreciate again that we could start out with my wife in song today. And she's going to go get me a cup of coffee while we go ahead and start this Bible study. Thank you, my honor. Just bring that up when you get to it. All right, it is Valentine's Day, and we've had a celebration beginning already, and so appreciate again that you could join us in this Bible study that we want to do on Valentine's Day, and our Sunday evening Bible study for Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Let's start with a word of prayer together. Father, praise you and thank you for your goodness, your bounty, your blessing. Thank you for love. Thank you for springtime. It's just around the corner. Thank you again, Father, that we could celebrate love and even learn some things about it. I thank you again for Beverly and I being married for 50 years, and this is our 50th married Valentine's Day, and how we rejoice in that. And praise you again now, and thank you that we could look at some principles from your word and some guidance about our love and our lives, and we'll praise you and thank you. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, I've got here, again, a group of slides that I put together from a book that I've written. And so notice it starts out here with love. And we're going to look at significance and security for reasons that we marry. And also another three dimensions of physical, emotional, and spiritual. God made us body, soul, and spirit. And so, again, as we look at those things, we want to, again, explore the depth of this. Love is complicated. Let me read you some scriptures here out of Proverbs chapter 30. It says this. there are three, verse 18, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 18. This is written by Agar. I like Agar. He wrote one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And in verse 18, he says, there are be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four, which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and then fourthly, the way of a man with a maid. And so we're going to explore that a little bit here for Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is designed for lovers. It is situated at the early throes of spring, when hormones begin to arise and a sudden renewed interest in the opposite sex is on the horizon. That was written anonymously from the 1900s by a youth pastor that I know. And again, I was teaching high school and a youth pastor for 10 years, and then teaching high school for another 10 until in Christian high schools. And so I know something about springtime here and what it does to people, teenagers' brains, and I hope yours as well. So we're going to use this to take full advantage of the day, Valentine's Day, to review your love life again. And so let's go ahead and look at some things. I've written a book. This is not a top seller, but it's I use it in our ministry here for counseling. I also use it for marriage seminars and to kind of rehearse things, and just so I could put some things together that's available. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jim. Happy Valentine's Day. Things that should be reviewed annually that can make your marriage a taste of paradise. There's an outline from the back panel of the book there. God's plan for your marriage, the role of the wife, the role of the husband, the role of one flesh, and the role of one flesh in communication, and the heritage of God being our children. And so that's kind of the outline of the book. I want to look at this communication and another Bible study. Today, let's go ahead and look at God's plan for our marriage. And I just want to emphasize the fact that love is complicated. People are complicated. Marriage, and so here's some other topics, again, that are covered in the book on how to have a marriage. And I like the little model I made up here of God's plan for your home. And then I especially like the chapter that deals with communication, a lifeline in marriage. And so we'll look more at that at another time. Right now, let's look at the fact that I don't want you to live in a marriage, husband and wife, where you're living under condemnation. So right up front, let's look at the importance of getting out from under condemnation, okay? It says here in the Bible that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's out of John 3:16. Those who memorize often stop there, but should go on to 17 and 18. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so you hear us as Christians talking about being saved. And I hope you know what that means. If not, pay attention to these verses, because we need to be saved. Bible says we need to be born again. We need to be converted to Christ before we can enter the kingdom of God. And so the verses that clarify exactly how that's done are given here right up front. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's all from John chapter 3. And then it goes on in John chapter 5 to Jesus says to the crowd, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What a marvelous thing if you would be saved here on Valentine's Day, and you'd not only start a new marriage, a new relationship with your spouse, but you'd start again a relationship with God that can make that what it is meant to be. We have here the Romans Road to Heaven, and let me just give you some of the few verses out of that that'll help clarify exactly how we are born again, how we are converted to Christ, how we are saved from the condemnation that's talked about in John 3 and that Jesus talked about in John 5. Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. Then it says in Romans 5, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And again, it says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, and condemnation to death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is a formal acceptance that you have got to do. It's not some priest that can do it for you. It's not, again, some religion. Religion is what we try to do to earn our way to heaven. You cannot earn it. It's a free gift. And to formally accept that free gift, notice again, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not saved, again, you have a precious poor chance of putting a home together that follows hard after God and is, again, a taste of paradise here on this earth. Because first, we need a right relationship with our Creator before we can follow his instructions in our home. A counselor's lead-in question ought to be for marriage counseling: why in the world did you marry such a person in the first place? So I want to encourage you, if you're here and you're married, that you'd again look at your young love. If you're here and you're looking towards marriage, learn some things again from this counsel. And I trust, again, it'd be a blessing to you. If you here and you got an old gray head, you've already been around the block, there's some things that'll be brought out here that you need to teach your children, to teach the next generation. And I encourage you to take notes and follow through this study. Remember why you married. Remember being in love. Remember being significant to somebody. Remember being secure in a relationship. We marry for love, significance, and security. And that's pretty much all we're going to look at here in this initial study, is why we marry and what we get out of marriage. And again, hopefully it'll be helpful for all of us to put a little bit of this back into our marriage. In my Bible, under Malachi chapter 2, I've got a picture of my wife, and it says my covenant companion under it. She is my companion, the Bible says, thy companion, and the wife of thy covenant. And so we'll look at the importance of making a covenant as well. So we are physically, emotionally, and spiritually commanded to leave and cleave, to leave mama and dad in our home, and to cleave to your spouse for all your physical security, for all your emotional security, for all your spiritual security. We are now again forming a new relationship with our spouse. And so again, that's the dimensions that we want to look at. It's complicated because there are nine dimensions. We want to look at love, significance, and security, and we want to look at it on three different planes: emotional, spiritual, and physical. And so your marriage needs spiritual security, it needs physical security, and it needs emotional security. And so that's just one aspect of that. Again, there's aspects because it's a 3x3 essentials. That's nine again, dimensions. We need to be loved. We need to love. We need to be significant. We need to give significance. You've heard your spouse called a significant other, perhaps. We need security, and we need to provide security. That is emotional love, love on a spiritual plane, and physical love. It is significance emotionally, significance spiritually, and physically significance. And it is secure emotionally, secure spiritually, and secure physically. So those are the nine dimensions. Let's go ahead and look at that. I put that together in this confusing model, but I like it. This is kind of the heart of the whole thing that we want to look at here. And notice again that it's certainly important for our reasons that we marry, as is given here in the bottom left-hand corner, three reasons and three dimensions of why we marry. But it's also on a spiritual plane, three relations and three dimensions to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. It's also three relations up here in a corner for rearing our children. They should find these love, significance, security in these three dimensions. And also, it is just in our relationship that we have with others, an important model for love. And so let's look at that real quickly. Notice again that we have spiritual love. Again, out of Jeremiah chapter 33, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. John 3:16 talks about, I'm going to call this an emotional love that we just read. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. A physical love, again, I'm going to bring up the book of Song of Solomon. And again, that deals with a lot of physical things. If you've not read it, when I was courting my honey that you just left here, when I was courting her, I went off to Bible college and I wrote her the whole book of Song of Solomon by hand and sent it to her in letters. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant also. Our bed is green. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. And so just a whole bunch of flowery, nice language. Guys, pay attention. If you want to, again, write some nice letters, you can quote the book of the Song of Solomon to your honey. And then notice here again, we have significance again, and we have that on three planes as well. I've tagged some Bible verses to go onto them. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. So on a spiritual plane and for Christ and his love for us, notice again that's held up as an example of how we in the home are to love. I like this verse in John 15 for an emotional significance and again to be emotionally tied and significant to somebody. Notice again that they're your friend. And Jesus said to us, to his disciples, I'm not going to call you servants anymore. Now you are my friends because I've shared with you everything that my Father has shared with me. And then lastly, a physical significance that we have with God. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We are indwelt by God. He moves right in. And there are physical changes that happen in us because of his presence and because of this commission given five times here in Acts 1:8. We are commissioned to go and preach the gospel and be his witnesses. Here in 2021, I'll mention at this point, Acts 2021 that we're supposed to preach, and John 2021 that gives the reason why we are to preach it. I encourage you to look them up and be familiar. Let's go ahead now and look at these security. Let's go ahead and look at security. Of course, we have a spiritual security in the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath, present tense, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I hope you have that kind of security in Christ to know that you have everlasting life. I said in our Sunday morning Bible study, God will save you until you know it, and then he'll change you until you show it. And then, of course, our emotional security. He has given this promise, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And lastly, a physical security. He's promised to take care of us. Consider the ravens, he said, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse or barn. And God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? As we've turned our government over to a leftist regime, it's kind of plain that they're going to run this thing right to the ground again. And they're not going to make America first. That means they're going to make America less than first, last. And they're not going to make America great. And so I'm almost becoming one of those people who survivalists or watch out, because I think, again, we're headed for a horrible collapse. And again, we don't have to go buy night vision scopes and fill our basement with rice and beans. What we need to do is trust in God. He said he would take care of us. Some of you remember Y2K, and we'll just let that pass. So let's go ahead now and look at this love that we are to have. It's modeled again by what Christ has done for us. And now we want to look at it in our marriage, in our relationship with our spouse. We are to have a love. The Bible, in our vows, it says, the Bible says they shall be one flesh. We are to leave mama and to cleave to our spouse. And in our vows, it should have said something about in sickness and health, for better, for worse, and especially should say, till death do us part. And so again, we're going to put that emphasis that we're talking about marriage here, and a Christian marriage, and the fact that it's based on what Christ has done. So notice here again in our little flyer that we are to be our spouse's soulmate, if you've heard that line before, and we are to be of one flesh. We're to pursue a spouse's spiritual goodness. We are, if anyone knows your spouse's salvation, if anyone knows of your salvation, your spouse should. Are you really saved? Is it genuine? There's a lot of professed Christians, but we want to be possessing Christians, possessing Christ. And so your spouse knows of your salvation probably better than anyone else, I can't tell. Even for my own children, again, they can make a profession. Lots of times as a youth pastor, I found parents trying to teach their children to behave like Christians, but not teaching them to be Christian. And so that's a very dangerous thing. And again, we're very close, our soulmate. Emotional love. Love is an emotional because it is an emotion. Why in the world did you marry? Again, the first response, or for young people counseling, why do you want to marry this guy? The answer is because I love him. And so we are to love in our marriage, and we marry because of love. Remember your courtship days. Remember what it's like to be in love. And then say it out loud. I love you. keep an emotional love alive and healthy in your marriage. And then I want to touch on our physical love here, and I want to keep our mind in the right vein to that we understand that touching is a very powerful communicator, or not. And so again, to withhold touch, to withhold caressing. Notice again that our touch is very important. It's a very intimate thing. Remember when holding hand was electrifying, when you could again just touch your girlfriend, when you could again just reach out and hold hands. So I encourage you to remember that and use that. Be arm in arm. Be holding hands when you're walking. Be holding hands when you stare into her eyes. And let me encourage you to do that, guys. Be caressing the arm when you say, I love you. I can't overemphasize the importance of touch as humans. We need that touch. Heated arguments cool down quickly when you are holding hands. So I encourage you in that regard too. We'll look more at that and how to have a good Christian fight our communication section. And then touching is a powerful communicator, or not. Nothing makes two one flesh more than intimate touch. And so the physical again, and let's look at the significance again on the same level, that we are to be significant to each other. We are to have spiritual significance, emotional significance, and physical significance. Remember again, they shall be one flesh. They're going to leave mama and cleave to in sickness and health, for better, for worse, till death do us part. And so in each of these, notice again that there's going to be a dependence on the spouse. And that's where we're going to find our significance now in life. You're not significant because, again, of the job you have, although that lends a little. We're not significant because how much our mom and dad take care of us. Instead, we're to find all of our significance in our spouse, in our home. The ground at the cross of Christ is the level. Bible says there's no male, there's no female, there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no bond, there's no free. We are all one in Christ. There is significance, however, in our marital roles as male and female. But to God, your spouse is significant. Stay in your role in family altar, in Bible time, in prayer time, and in church. But recognize that, again, you stand equal with your partner before God. Even though he has outlined for us different roles that we must follow, if we're going to have a taste of paradise here on this earth, in our marriage, in our home, and that's what we're striving for as we look at these relationships. God made us male and female, very different packages, with very different roles and even very different purposes in our construction, in our the way we're built, the why we're built. Again, I guess I have to repeat it, in our society, that there is a difference between men and women. We're not made equal. And so, again, that's probably pretty sexist to say in our twisted, warped society. But again, understand that God made us very different. Consider in Genesis that men are made out of dirt. Women are not. Spend your life pondering the differences and smile. Enjoy that. The reason we're together is, and male and female, put together into a home, that's God's plan, that's God's way, is because we're built with two different roles. And the woman is the completer. The woman, again, was made as the help meet, which is an appropriate help to man. And God said, man needs help. And so we're given a command. I think it's in 1 Peter that I'm studying through. It says, men are
husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding. And that's a lifetime job right there. So I'd encourage you again to enjoy the trip. And then lastly, in this significance, even this physical significance, I want you to imagine what it's like to go through life with being significant to nobody. Nobody cares where you're at. Nobody cares what you're doing. Nobody cares anything about your life. And imagine, again, going through life like that, being insignificant in this world. And God didn't make us that way. God made us to respond to our significance. And we are significant to God, number one, first and foremost. God so loved. But we need a physical partner that is significant. When I went to Auburn Prison, we'd go up for Bible studies, and it's very impressive to be locked into a cell block. Hear that door slam behind you. And boy, every time we came out, we just praised the Lord that we came out. And one of the guys that went in with us, he would always, as soon as he came out of there, he would, well, before he went in, the last thing he'd do is he'd go call his wife and say, I'm going in. And then when he'd come out, he'd go over and he'd call up his wife. This was before cell phones. And he'd call up his wife there on the phone in the lobby of the prison. And he'd say, I came out. And we said, what are you doing? You're so henpecked. You got to tell your wife everything you're doing. And here's what he said that always struck me. He said this. He said, hey, at least there's somebody in this world who I am significant to. And I've always remembered that. And so when someone's concerned about where you are and what you're doing, understand it is great. It is essential. It is important to be significant to somebody. You've heard a spouse called a significant other, I hope. And so look at my next line here. Now open the car door for her. Stand between her and the world as she lifts her skirt to climb out of the car. Show her significance. Care about where your spouse is and what they are doing, and make sure it is not for jealousy reasons, but for significance reasons, that you are always concerned and watching out for your spouse, and they know it, and you show it. Make sure your significant other is significant. Make sure they feel significant, and make sure they are shown significance. That is a big deal in married life, and it's ongoing again in this world. As we live with a spouse. As I said, Beverly and I have been doing this for 50 years. Praise the Lord. This year, again, we're walking through our 50th year together as husband and wife. So a couple other things here for being significant and having significance. Stop finishing your spouse's sentences for them. And then another one that we'll cover in communications later on is you have two ears and one mouth. Use them proportionately. Be a listener because your spouse is significant. And so lastly, let's look at our physical security, our spiritual security, and our emotional security in marriage, in our relationship, husband and wife. The Bible says again, they shall be one flesh, that you are to leave mama and to cleave to your spouse. We take vows for security in sickness and health, for better, for worse, till death do us part. Vows like Jesus's, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, are crucial in our lives. And Valentine's Day is a good time to rehearse them and to go through them again. The man needs to be spiritually significant, a great spiritual maturity he's to have, and to be in circumspect. So the man needs to be a spiritual leader. The woman, women are more spiritual. Who was it that came first to the tomb? Who was it that was at the cross and didn't leave? Who? And so again, when you look at the Bible, even you see again that that women have a higher spiritual nature around Christ. It's undeniable. And so women are spiritually sensitive, where guys are insensitive in all levels, probably. So even though the man here is to be the spiritual leader, again, women are more spiritually sensitive often, and you need to catch up. Husbands, catch up. Husbands, keep up. And husbands, be the leader on the spiritual plane. Not driven about by every wind of doctrine, the Bible says. Make sure you're having a regular family altar, a family Bible time, and a family prayer time. We've seen the most ignored plaque in houses is this one. The family that prays together stays together. Husbands, be the spiritual leader in the home, and wives, help them and let them. Next, we'll notice again for emotional security. And these again are the vows that Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Listen, the wife is called the weaker vessel, and she needs again the strong arm to lean on. She needs again to be trusting that, hey, no matter what, he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Men have insecurities. Never talked about. And so wives, even as you deal with your husband's insecurities, you can't do it by saying, I'm trying to help your insecurities. It's never talked about. But men, but wives again, can learn again to bolster their husband's ego, to help them, to encourage them. Men are testosterone confrontational leaders. I know they try to make women's basketball a big thing, and same as men's basketball, but men are different than women, and our society spends a lot of effort trying to make that a lie, but that's a Bible truth. God made us different. And so the XY chromosome points to which you are, if you have any question, and you can't switch. Our society, again, is sick and twisted away from God's ways in this regard. Men are testosterone confrontational leaders. Women are behind the scene manipulators. I'll give you some Bible examples are given here. David and Abigail, or Ahab and Jezebel. One good example and one vile, evil example. Again, and understand that for emotional security, men are made different and need to be able to provide that. Women, again, need to see that in a husband, and they can, again, address uncertainties or insecurities that a husband have. But again, there needs to be a security that's built in our home. Lastly, a physical security. And let's talk about that again for God's provision in our home. Number one, there are vows that are taken. Jesus gave us a vow, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. We need to have that in our vows together. Lots of people try to get married without getting married. They try to live together and say, hey, we'll just live together and see how it works. And they do that without vows. If there's any vows, it is, hey, we're just going to try this out again. If it don't work, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to forsake you. And so again, notice the importance of that as far as our security. There needs to be an assurance, a vow taken. And that's Bible. One man, one lifetime. One man, one woman, one lifetime. Let me finish that. And so the vows are very important for all of our security, but especially here, even for our physical security. Let me go ahead and say in the Bible that the husband is not only the leader, but he is the provider. He is the breadwinner. He is the one God will hold responsible for what goes on in a home in that regard. And the wife is the homemaker, and is protected. and is the one who does not open her car door. I'll throw that in there again. So that, again, we'd understand that there are some things that we can do in our home to show love, to show significance, to show security. And we need to have those on all three of those planes, a spiritual plane, an emotional plane, and a physical plane, because we are body, soul, and spirit. So that's been a study of this here chart. Again, I like to emphasize it. And I hope, again, that you gather a few things out of it that will be helpful for your home and helpful for your relationship. Next week, I think we'll go ahead and do a study on communications. And I'll teach you how to have a good Christian fight, a good biblical fight with your spouse. And again, we'll go ahead and look further into that. But this here is a basis, again, for love and marriage, and it just addresses some important relationships. As we said before, love is complex, and I hope this can help. I hope it helps your marriage. I hope it helps your relationship. Happy Valentine's Day. Make sure you show love, both physical, emotional, spiritual. Show your spouse significance. Physical, emotional, and spiritual. And show your spouse security. Make sure she feels that security. And do that on a physical plane, an emotional plane, and a spiritual plane. Father, praise you again and thank you for love and marriage. Thank you. We can just brush the surface of it here and marvel in what you've done to give us a spouse that'll give a promise that they'd never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you for your promise. We thank you again, Father, that you fulfill every avenue of every dimension of this love model that we've looked at. And I pray that you'd help us to do the same in our marriages. Thank you for springtime. It's just around the corner. Bless now in a special way. And we'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. Lord bless you for being in a Bible study with us here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Mm-hmm.